welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church to those both in person and online. Wherever you are coming from, wherever you are whatever you are bringing with you this week, we pray you experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. Before we go forward, I have a few announcements. Join us tonight at 4 p.m. for the annual Hebron Bluegrass Gospel Concert. There will be homemade ice cream, a food truck, serving barbecue and hot dogs. We hope to see you there. The Niger Scholarship Drive continues. For only $300, you can support a child going to school for a whole year. This includes school supplies, food, clothing, and housing. Please prayerfully consider giving. Gifts can be dropped in the offering plate or mailed to the church office. As we know, it's time for stewardship, so could we please welcome Deacon Brian Everhart for our minute for stewardship.
Morning, everyone. My name's Brian Everhart, as everyone probably knows, and I'm a deacon here at Hebron. Just to be up front, one of the attributes I do not have is public speaking. But I cannot convince Carol Mittendorf of that. As a deacon and head of the buildings and grounds, the meaning of stewardship to me is overseeing the physical needs of this church facility so that the church can fulfill its mission to God. I will admit that some are more glamorous than other ones. Being raised a farm kid and having worked many years in construction, the Lord has blessed me with many talents to use at this task. I want to say that every week I witness a lot of people in this church giving their talents to the stewardship of this church. Everyone has a talent that can be used for the mission of this church. I encourage you to participate, and if you have any doubts, just talk to Reverend Noah about it. He's a pretty good guy to talk to. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. I'm with you. I don't have that talent of public speaking anymore either. Finally, we have fellowship in Holman Hall at the end of this service. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Made heaven and earth.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long to be comforted, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, welcomes you here and greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The proof of God's love is amazing. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you. Have mercy on us, O God. Do not cast away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit for all of Christ's sake.
Amen. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. We're continuing this week with our children's messages. And again, I remind us that we're all children of God, and sometimes the most simple message gets across more than any complex sermon that I could ever preach. So I think it's worth it in and of itself. Today we're reading a story called Growing Opposition from Acts 5. The good news about Jesus spread all over Jerusalem. The high priest and the religious leaders were worried. It seems that nothing could stop these followers of Jesus. Once more, Peter and his friends were arrested and put in prison. The next day, they were preaching in the temple courts after a miraculous escape from jail. The Sanhedrin, the council of religious leaders, met together. "We have got to stop them," shouted the high priest. "How can we stop them?" one replied. "There are thousands of people listening to them all around the city." "They blame us," said the high priest. "They say we are murderers." Now an old Pharisee, rose up shakily, and there was silence again. He was very learned and well-respected. His name was Gamaliel. "Listen," he said slowly. "Many leaders have come and gone over the years. They have claimed to be prophets, messiahs, deliverers from the Romans. They have all been killed and their followers scattered. So we must wait and see. If this Jesus of Nazareth and his teachings is just another empty dream, it will all come to nothing." All the members of the council nodded their heads. "But," he said, "if Jesus is from God, then you cannot stand against him. How can you fight against God?" There was a long silence. The high priest shifted uncomfortably. He did not like this advice. He longed to see Peter and John and the others arrested and tried. But he knew that they were too popular and they were afraid of the people. Would the crowds turn against him? Would he lose his power? He longed for the day when the people of Jerusalem would turn against these followers of Jesus and see how dangerous they were. That day came suddenly when a man named Stephen arrived in Jerusalem. Now you can continue your own Bible reading in Acts 6, the story of Stephen. But one of the things that this story reminds us, and what Gamaliel's counsel reminds us, is that the power of the church is not in the church. It's in the God who founded, who gives life, and who redeems the church day after day. And so if it is of God, it will prosper. And if it is not, it will pass away. Let's pray. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God,
thank you for showing us
that it's not all on our shoulders,
but in the Holy Spirit,
who gives us life.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
As we turn to God's word, let us first turn again and ask for his illumination. Let us pray. God of mercy, your faithfulness to your covenant frees us to live together in the security of your powerful love. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak to us your eternal word, which does not change. And then may we respond to all your gracious promises by living in faith and with obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, starting in the first verse. This is the third and final installment of our series called Tending the Ground, the Holy Spirit's Work in the Church. If you've been paying attention to the agricultural metaphors here, you can see that we've moved from roots to dirt, and now we'll come back together to growth. Roots, dirt, growth. All of this as images for what our Christian lives and what our life together as the church is about. So listen now to God's word. "And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as fleshly, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still fleshly. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not fleshly, are you not fleshly? Pardon me. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not fleshly and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not all too human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seven steps to success. Eight ways to be more influential. Three easy steps to win at life. If you spend any amount of time online or reading popular magazines, you are likely to find titles such as these, promising you the life you always wanted quickly and easily. We love to find the easy way, to find the shortcut to life. I think this mindset is endemic of our Western culture. We've been sold this idea that there's a kind of a secret knowledge, what today we might call a hack, to instantly attain our innermost desires. All we must do is find it. Now, this knowledge, of course, in our modern world takes the form of articles or books, which each seem to have three easy steps. They can't decide which of those three easy steps to use. Or it may be what today we call an influencer, who says, I figured it all out, so as long as you follow my method, you'll get what you want out of life. Whole sections of our society are dedicated to these so-called teachers and self-help methods, which promise everything. We love gimmicks and gurus to get what we want fast. Now, the sad thing is that this is no different in the church. For one's spiritual life, there are plenty of methods and teachers out there dedicated to making you into super Christians. I once heard one say that if you read the book of Philippians seven times back to back, you would instantly grow in spiritual maturity. It didn't work. As a pastor, I run across countless articles and books that promise a fast track to church growth via seven steps. They like to use the biblical seven. Or visionaries who are promising congregational transformation if you just buy into their program. We love, in the church, our gimmicks and our gurus to get what we want from a Christian life fast. But the question is this what God calls us to focus on? Is this kind of equation faith, where you put in some things and you get out something else, is this true? And if we follow these steps or these programs and we don't get the desired outcome, what are we left with? Now, this reality is not unlike what the Corinthian Christians faced when they received Paul's letter. You see, there were divisions forming in the church that revolved around a number of issues. Now, where we find ourselves in the text this morning, where we are entering in, Paul is addressing the issue of personality cults that were arising in the church. The believers were creating spiritual cliques, as it were, around specific teachers. I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas. They thought that their particular teacher, the person maybe who had brought them to faith, would be a shortcut to spiritual maturity. But that teacher had, of course, a method that would lead to a higher, more lofty knowledge of Christ. In this way, they were actually falling back into, living into the pagan religiosity of their upbringing. In the Greco-Roman world, you could attach yourself to many wisdom cults and mystery religions, all which promise to have secret knowledge that if you just followed it, you would find spiritual attainment. Now, to be clear, as we're reading this, this is not a clash between false teachers and true teachers, but this is an issue of believers fixating on personalities of one or another. It sort of sounds like our celebrity culture today. Now, these cliques were creating real division in the church, and they were compromising their witness in Corinth. So the Apostle Paul sought to give them a reality check and refocus their faith on what truly mattered. The Corinthians thought that they had matured, that they had outgrown the gospel message which they had first come to faith. They were, by shortcut, spiritual adults. But Paul knew better. He had observed their actions and seen what was in their hearts. Actions speak louder than words, after all. There was quarreling and jealousy among them. They were engrossed in conflicts over these teachers. Who was more spiritual? Who was more mature? All infighting. All inward focused. All the while, Paul states, they showed themselves to be nothing more than infants. Those who were thinking in the terms of this age, not with a kingdom mindset. Now, as an aside, we can often project into Paul our own feelings, and we find people in our lives and we may think, oh, you're just an infant. He was talking about a spiritual state. This is not how we talk about other people. But what he's showing us is that you cannot be mature in Christ, you cannot be a mature Christian and this be your reality. There cannot be jealousy and quarreling and the forming of cliques. This is not spiritual, but worldly. The believers were more worried about teachers than they were about living into the gospel message. They were focused on the wrong thing. So often as he does, Paul cuts through the noise and refocuses with a simple statement. Who then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe. There was nothing special in the teachers of their own accord. There's nothing special in them of themselves, but that they were appointed to proclaim Christ. They could give no special knowledge, no spiritual attainments, because they all had the same gospel, the same message of the cross. I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. The Corinthians wanted shortcuts to spiritual maturity, but they had forgotten that this is only something God can give. Apollos and Paul were only given to nourish the church in the gospel, to keep the church healthy so that God could give the growth. In focusing only on what God could give, namely growth, the believers turned out to be spiritually unhealthy, unable to grow. In striving after only that which God could give, they actually were going backwards, staying infants in Christ. Paul shows us that we must get our priorities straight. We can only focus on our spiritual health in Christ because maturity and growth is only something God can give. And when we run after the wrong priorities, we will find that we are striving to no end except failure and spiritual exhaustion. This is what the church and what Christians need to hear today. This is what we need to hear, especially as we are enmeshed in celebrity culture and this teacher versus that teacher. We can spend all our time worrying about church growth or spiritual growth. There are plenty of gimmicks out there that promise it all. But we will find that this ultimately leaves us spiritually unhealthy, quarrelsome, and burnt out. What God calls us to focus on is not growth, but health. Health. Are we a healthy church? Are we healthy Christians? Only then will God give the growth that he desires. Just as we cannot make a baby grow, using Paul's example, but seek instead to keep it healthy, so we who were and are infants in Christ must keep spiritually healthy, knowing that God gives the growth. Just as we cannot cause a plant to grow, but we can only nourish it, water it, plant it, dig around it, and give it manure, so we must stay nourished as the church, knowing God will give us all that we need to fulfill his kingdom purposes. To be spiritually healthy, we must focus on what God tells us to focus on. Not growth, but health. Not influence, but faithfulness. Not numbers, but discipleship. And we nourish our personal and communal life through worship, through the sacraments, through prayer, through scripture reading, through disciple making, through serving in and beyond these four walls. Only when we have our priorities straight will we be in a position to receive the growth God desires for us. There are no gimmicks, no gurus, no hacks or shortcuts. Only the faithful work of following Christ every day, seeking God's kingdom way, and trusting that he has our ultimate good in sight. So as we go about our Christian lives, as we seek to reimagine and re-understand who God is calling Hebron Church to be, let us seek what he calls us to seek, to focus on our health, our spiritual health, nourishing our life with all that God gives, and trusting that he will make us mature. And in this way, give him the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. You are the source of our life and the giver of our growth. Grant that we would focus on what you call us to be and do, following Christ, walking in your kingdom way, and leaving the rest in your providential care. Empower us by your Spirit, O God, to seek your will in all things, and so to witness to Christ in this community. O God, our Father, you are sovereign over all peoples and nations. Deliver us, we pray, from all the powers of darkness that divide. Deliver us from fear and violence, hatred and greed. And establish your justice and peace in every land. Help us, O God, in this nation to better live into our values, living and working not just for ourselves, but for the common good of all people. Keep us from all self-serving politics and move us to love our neighbors, whoever they may be. Bless this county, O God, in which you have sent us. We pray for the county supervisors, for the public servants, for police, for firefighters, for EMTs, for all volunteers. We pray that you would prosper the work of their hands as they serve the people in this place, and help us by our prayers and presence to lift them up in the good work that they do. O God, our Savior, you have established your church as the first fruits of your new creation. Keep us in step with your Spirit, we pray, that we would live your gospel in word and deed, reaching out to a weary world with the message of your kingdom. Lord, we pray especially this day for your church in the Netherlands. We pray that you would prosper their witness, that you would help them to seek new ways of engaging your mission in their country, as they grapple with the continuing reality of a post-Christendom world. Lord, we pray for the churches in this nation. We pray that we may be salt and light, that we may not seek to embolden ourselves to serve our own purposes, but to seek your will and your mission in the world. Help us, O God, to be a counterculture, not falling in line with what others may want us to be, but shining Christ's light, we pray. And for this church, which you have called Hebron, bless our work and labors. Help us to seek first your kingdom and Christ's righteousness. Help us to reimagine and re-envision what you are calling us to do and how you are calling us to do it. Let us look on all our ministries with generosity, with also a critical eye, knowing that you call us to new things and new ways of living into the gospel. Bless our labors and our discernment as we do so. O God, the Holy Spirit, you are the breath of new life, and you bring to life all that which once seemed dead. So breathe on us, O breath of God, and fill us with life anew. Bless all those who suffer this day in mind, body, or spirit. Especially, O God, we lift to you those we name in this moment of quiet. O triune God, we lift before you these our prayers, knowing that you work all things according to the good of those who love you. For we make our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In our modern age, we often don't do what I did growing up, is offering envelopes. They had your little number stamped on them, your name. You always filled them out and put some money inside. Nowadays, a lot of us give online or through alternative means, so we don't always put something in the plate. But that doesn't mean we don't have something to give each week. And so I'd invite you, as we pass the plates along, to think about the time, talents, and resources other than finances that you may have that God is calling you to use. And if you would, indulge me a little bit, actually pass the plate to the person next to you and take whatever that may be in sort of a symbolic gesture and put it in the plate. Maybe it's mind. Maybe it's hands and feet. Maybe it's heart. Whatever it may be, as we enter this stewardship season and continue to think, what is God calling us to do? We give of everything, not just our finances. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Join in heart and hands with others as your cause.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the mighty blessings with which you bless us, time, talents, resources, all. And we give back just a portion of this to you. Use it for your glory. Help us to steward it. And in all things, may we use your gifts for the good of one another and for the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our King, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
reminder, I hope to see you this evening at 4 p.m. in the sanctuary for our Bluegrass Gospel Concert. There will also be some Bluegrass hymn singing, so think of your favorite hymns and we'll pull those out. God gives the growth. It's not all on our shoulders to grow the church, to make the ministry effective, but it's that we would first seek our health, the spiritual health rooted in Christ, letting God do all the rest. So go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.